You're listening to Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
It is 16 minutes to 11. Caitlin, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Yes, very good. Good to see you. And we're back into normal operations. Courtney's back as well.
I know. I was very excited to see a familiar face.
Hello, Caitlin.
Hello.
Lovely to see you again.
It was good to see
how
you.
How was your Christmas?
It was good, thank
That's
you.
That's good. Yep.
Yes, well, you've brought in an interesting-looking text this week. It's green.
Oh, it's Anne of Green Gables.
Yes.
By L.M. Montgomery. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Mitch, where has your childhood been? Gosh. Courtney, have you heard of it?
I have heard of it, but unfortunately not into it.
It's a bit girly for me.
No! It's such a good book. So basically, it's quite old. I think it was first published in, would have had to be around like the early 1900s, I think.
Yeah.
But it's such a good book. I love it so much. It really reminds me of my childhood. And I got this beautiful version from Dimmicks, I think, and they do these hard covers. So I think a lot of listeners should know about Anne of Green Gables. And it's basically just about a young orphan girl who gets taken in and basically is quite headstrong. And it's all about how she navigates the town. And, like, I mean, it's a small, like, kind of pilgrimy American town.
Yeah,
think
right.
Like that, where, you know, they still write on slates and
as you do.
Yeah, things like that. So it just reminds me so much of my childhood, and I was just picking it up the other day and I was flicking through and I thought, I love this text so much. And they have like a 1985 miniseries.
Right.
That I loved as well. I don't know if you guys have watched.
I didn't even know the text, but we are of a similar age, so I don't know where I was during my childhood.
I know. Well, maybe because I hung out with my mum and my aunts and my nana and things like that a lot. Like, I'm very close to them. So maybe because they were all into Anne of Green Gables. And I still remember being on, like, a family holiday and watching the miniseries, which goes on for ages.
And it wasn't that I wasn't reading as a child. I used to read a lot.
No, did you used to read, like,
Enid Blyton.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think that was, like, one of the first books I read by myself, one of those
the
sort of
texts.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think they've since edited to make them more politically correct.
My brother and I used to read the famous five books by Enid Blyton.
I read all those, yeah.
Did you? Yeah.
I wasn't big on Enid Blyton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I read one of hers and then I was like, meh.
Wasn't for you. She wrote so much, it was incredible.
She really did, yeah, and she really did shape a lot of
Famous Five, Secret Seven. There was another group of about four, I think, so
I just remember in those texts wanting the butter dish that they used to carry around or something, where you used to pick up the lid of the butter dish and there would always be food, and then they'd close it,
right.
And like they'd eat it and it would just always replenish food, and I just really wanted it.
Was that in the Faraway Tree?
I think it might have been in the Faraway Tree.
But kids aren't really reading those sorts of books anymore, are they?
I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of really great children's literature out there. I think parents are starting to enjoy more reading to their kids, and it's really great because I think that a lot of them are starting to be kind of written catering to both, like both the parent and the kids. And there's some beautiful like illustrators and yeah, I do. But I don't know about having classics. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we had classics as a kid, but I don't know how many kids have classics. Probably like the Caterpillar. What's that Caterpillar one?
What, the kids' book?
Hungry Caterpillar. The Hungry Caterpillar. I feel like maybe that's a classic for them. I don't know.
When did that book even, I don't even know, when did it come out?
No, neither.
I'm sure it was
long time ago.
When I was a kid.
I feel like it was. I feel like it was like a huge thing when we were kids. And for anybody wondering, we are only like 22.
That's right. Yeah.
22 years ago. But I do feel I feel like that's lacking. And I just think Anne of Green Gables is just such a good book, and it really kind of gives you all the life
lessons. So even though it's sort of part of your childhood, is it a book of all ages?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. I don't know about boys. You're right. I don't know about boys. I didn't really think about that.
That doesn't make me feel so bad about missing out on it then, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's got the hardback sort of green design, which we were talking about last week, sort of the design, but the shimmer.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Coming off the silver sort of leaf.
I think I got this one in America, actually, in the Dimmicks in Boston.
Right.
But they've come out with all these, like, old classics and some new ones where they've kind of given it a really beautiful, like, hardback cover. Yeah, embossed. You've got the shimmer, you've got the gold, the silver, beautiful illustrations. And, yeah, and just really kind of... And even on the sides, like, how all the pages are kind of... embossed in silver.
That's right.
I have a few of these, actually. Someone got me another three for my birthday, which are just gorgeous as well. Different design, but, like, same type of idea.
How many bookshelves do you have at home?
To be honest, I'm struggling. I have one.
Right.
And it's not even one. It's, like, half of one, but it's, like, four rows in. So I need to get...
Yeah, with some bookends.
Yeah, I need to get a bookshelf. It's on my list.
And what's your rating of that text out of the... I think we had 5 stars.
Yeah, 5, because of nostalgia.
5 again. Yep, of course.
It's just such a nostalgic book. And if you don't want to read it, watch the miniseries, because I think it's great. Even though the actress in it, I found, was really annoying.
Yes, but one person you can sort of stand, can't you?
Yeah, but she's Anne, so it's kind of like... Oh.
And I also used to read a lot of Roald Dahl as well.
Oh, yeah. So, again, I never really got into Roald Dahl. I don't know why. Mm. I just... The two... Yeah.
That's right. But a lot of interesting... But you go back and read some of those books now and you think, wow, they're very basic. Like,
yeah,
you can finish those off in, like, an hour or something. And you think, like, when I was young, this was serious reading.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just... Actually, the other day I went to the op shop and I picked up Judy Blume books, because I find them really hard to find. And I was, like, really excited about them, because when you were, like, 10 and 12, these were, like, naughty books that... You know, you read about teenagers and things like that.
But so nothing's how you remember it.
No, not at all, no.
You remember thinking, oh, that was more interesting, but yeah. Anyway, we might go and play a track of music, because I've actually got a film review to do after that.
Oh, very exciting.
I went to go and see The Imitation Game, which you actually talked about last Wednesday. It's about the guy that cracked the German Enigma code, or at least that's what they said in the movie. So we might do a review of that and talk about a couple of other things as well. It's 8 minutes to 11.
You're listening to Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
I liked that song, actually. It sounded a bit Beatles-esque, I thought.
Yes, it did, didn't it? Yes.
That's right. So, yes, as I mentioned, I went to see The Imitation Game, the movie. It was about this guy in the UK during World War II that apparently cracked the German Enigma code, although I'm not sure 100% how historically accurate it is. But it's an interesting film, because it goes through the process, and this person is a very good mathematician, but I think he's slightly on the autism spectrum. He doesn't get on very well with all the people around him. So they all hated him, but he was an incredible mathematical mind. And he was also a homosexual as well, which was difficult in those times because it was outlawed and criminal. So he had to go through that. So it raised a lot of questions about all sorts of different elements of life. Like, also there was a woman with him, and women weren't really mathematicians back in those days, but she was a very powerful and smart person. So it was sort of looking at, I guess, homosexual people, women in those times and what it was like. But it was also sort of looking at the man versus the machine, and he built this machine. But also his mind, in a way, was a bit like a machine because of how smart he was. And also, I guess, how much do you trust someone, because they all hated him, the people around him, and they said, this is not going anywhere. But he's like, no, if you just wait with me, we'll solve this. And apparently, according to the film, because of his work, the World War II was reduced by 2 years or something, and many thousands of lives saved.
That's amazing. Actually, doesn't sound too bad, does it?
I think you would probably like it.
Yeah.
Just based on the text that you have.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Probably is the most important word there, because I don't want to say you will love it and then you come back and say that was terrible. But it got some really good ratings. I've got to say, it was probably one of the best films I've seen at the cinema for quite some time.
Yeah, well, it sounds like original as well, and it sounds like thought-provoking, which is good, because I think they have a habit of just having a cookie cutter way of a story and a movie should go. So
that's right, because people were saying to me, oh, they've already done a story about the Enigma code and how that was cracked. But a lot of this was through his perspective and just dealing with those difficulties himself. So sort of a national hero was someone that was slightly unexpected in this film.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
I think you would
I think
like
your
it.
Review is very good too.
Oh, thank you. it was funny because Oscar, the Pulse movie reviewer, reviewed it last Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at films to go and see, and I don't think there was too many that really sort of jumped out at me.
No.
Because sometimes I want to go and see something a bit lighter, but it is difficult to do the lighter films well.
Yes, I think so. I went through a stage where I just went to the movies like every day. Mm. I swear, I was obsessed with all the movies that were out.
A lot of them end up with pretty gratuitously gross humour, you know, just to get through.
And you know, after a while it gets tiring. Like, it's fine if it's a DVD movie, but not if you want to go and kind of have the experience of being in a cinema and things like that. And yeah, I have struggled to find a movie lately that I really want to go. Even Mockingjay, I was kind of like, I still haven't seen it.
Have you heard of the film Into the Woods? It's a musical.
Yes, and I don't know how I feel about that either.
I'm not really a musicals person. That's probably my biggest reluctance in going to it. What would you say? Are you a musical
person? I love musicals. Let's be honest. I love musicals.
I don't like things without a storyline.
No,
they
have a storyline.
But it's like a one-paragraph synopsis, and that's the whole story.
Yeah, but the lyrics are the story as well. Mitch.
We'll talk about this next week because we do have to wrap it up. Greg's warming up next door in Studio 2. But thank you so much for coming in, Caitlin. I appreciate it
as
always.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Program Arts and Entertainment reporter Caitlin there. And we're just about there for the week, but get excited because Dennis is going to be back on the airwaves with you tomorrow.